Welcome to Women in Pharmacy. Your host is a woman, pharmacist, educator, wife, mother, and founder of the Pharmacist Moms Group. Let's talk.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this month's episode of Women in Pharmacy. I am very, very excited today to have one of my favorite guests, who was actually one of my first preceptors when I was in pharmacy school, and she is here. And I've always looked up to her as a mentor. And so I'm really excited to have her today as a guest. And I also have two of my colleagues with me as well, conducting the interviews. And I'm going to have all three of them give their introductions. And we're going to start with Dr. Andrea Calero.
Hi, thank you so much for having me here today. So I thought I would start out by just talking a little bit about my career path with Walgreens. So I've actually been with Walgreens for 30 years in a variety of roles, from pharmacist in stores, shared faculty with the University of Illinois at Chicago and Walgreens, to disease state manager, to category manager across a variety of categories like diagnostics, wellness, vitamins, cough, cold, allergy. I spent some time on our pharmacy procurement side of our business as well. So I handled generic pharmaceutical strategy and global sourcing of pharmaceuticals. And then I moved to our own brand team, which is the same thing as private label. And I've been on that team for, you know, over 5 years, working in a variety of roles from sourcing, marketing, branding, and product development. So basically what my team and I do today, we manage everything that's under the Walgreens product brand. So when you go in our stores and you buy the Walgreens equivalent to a product like an Advil or a Tylenol, or if you see a unique type of product under the Walgreens name, my team and I manage that. So it's a lot of fun.
Perfect. And Bhavna and Carlene, do you guys want to introduce yourselves quickly to the group?
So very nice. That's awesome to know you today, Miss Dr. Andrea. I would like to introduce myself, and I'm looking forward to a great episode today with her. So myself, Bhavna Mutha, I've been a pharmacist for 20 years. I currently chair the National Board of Medication Therapy Management. I also work with a physician into collaborative practice. So as Dr. Andrea said about disease state management, I'm looking forward to a great, great discussion with her. I've been in retail for almost 15 years. And in addition to that, I've also done quite a bunch of work into medication therapy management field. So that's a nutshell of my journey with pharmacy, and been on with Susie on Pharmacist Moms, trying to moderate the group and create a good space for pharmacists as women. So I'm looking forward to meet my co-panelist, Carlene, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself as well.
Hey, everybody. I'm Carlene Link. I have been a pharmacist for just about 13 years. I'm board certified, residency trained, clinical background, and currently I practice on the inpatient side as a clinical pharmacist. Part-time, I am the mom of two little boys, and really looking forward to this discussion. I love hearing about different pathways in pharmacy and how the profession is just currently advancing. So very excited to talk to you, Dr. Calero.
Perfect. So let's get started. Just to tell us a little bit more about your career path within Walgreens. So, you know, how did you start, and then where did you go from there?
Well, you know, when I first started out, when I was graduating from pharmacy school, you know, last year, and figuring out that I wanted to do a residency, I had been working for Walgreens at that point for about 7 years. And an opportunity came up. I was always really interested in infectious disease. And I was kind of at that point, am I going to do the residency or am I going to stay with Walgreens? And at that time, Walgreens was opening up a pharmacy inside of the Howard Brown Healthcare Center in Chicago, which was a clinic primarily focused on the treatment of HIV and AIDS patients. And it was embedded within the clinic setting. And they were looking for a pharmacist to help set up that location with a pharmacy manager. And it was like perfect. And so I decided, like, you know what, I'm going to be able to work in this area. I'm super interested in it. And so that's how my pharmacist career started out, is I was able to work in this clinic space for a few years. And then we ended up setting up different kinds of clinics like that around the country. But I'm, you know, happy that I was able to be a part of the first one that was set up. And then from there, I went into a traditional pharmacy manager role in one of our stores on the south side of Chicago. My brother Ben is a pharmacist as well. He also, I think he was actually the first PharmD class out of UIC. And so he was a super inspiring mentor for me and really like helped me get to the mindset of how you take care of patients and how you take care of customers. And so I was always kind of like following him and what he was doing. And so another opportunity came up where they were looking to set up a shared faculty position with UIC. And it was a first type of program where I was actually teaching at the pharmacy school part of the time and then setting up these fee-for-service disease state clinics in our stores. And it was just very interesting. Like it was just me. It was me figuring out how to get like CLIA waivers if I needed them, working with local physician offices and saying, hey, does your patient need help in training your patients how to use their inhalers or their peak flow meters or their nebulizers or compressors? And so that's how it started. And I was doing that for a little while. And then somebody actually called me up from corporate and said, hey, we're looking to train our pharmacists nationwide on diabetes. Are you interested in that? Now, at that time, I didn't even cross my mind that I would ever be in the corporate office for Walgreens. And so I did what I usually said and said, okay, I'll try that out. Let's see how it goes. And so I went to our corporate office as disease state manager for the company with the sole purpose of educating our pharmacists on different types of disease states. And so it was really interesting and I loved it. And then I was working with the diagnostic buyer at the time who ended up moving on to another role. And then they said like, hey, you've been working, you know, in this diagnostic position, like underneath the buyer, they offered me that role. And again, I was like, well, okay, but you know, it's like a big financial type of role. Like you're managing hundreds of millions of dollars. And in my head, I was like, well, I'm a pharmacist. I'm really teaching, you know, I don't know if I'm interested, but I decided like, why not? Like I've been training under this person for the last 2 years. I might as well. Suzanne knows Alan because when she was my student, that's who I was working for. And Suzanne was my student during that time as well. And I just ended up loving it. And so I ended up staying in this buyer type roles. And it's really cool because you're working with national brand companies and private label companies. And when you go into one of our stores, when you're working in our stores, you have like no idea what's kind of going on behind the scenes, but you end up like working through like, what's the assortment going to look like? Do we have products that meet all of the different patient needs? Do we have value offerings? You know, a lot of people don't necessarily realize, for example, that all of the generic drugs that we have, like under the Walgreens name, are the same exact thing as the national brand, same FDA rigor in place, et cetera. And so that just kind of kept on moving. I went to that was just like, you know, moved from there to a different startup role in pharmacy. And then the private label team was formed. And so I've just had all these like different opportunities. Every time something new and interesting came up, I knew it was a good thing for me to do because my stomach was nervous. And I always felt like if my stomach's nervous, that means, you know, it's pushing me outside my comfort zone. So I would just do it. And I was like, okay, if I don't like it, I could always just go back to doing what I was doing before. But so far, I've liked all the opportunities that have come my way.
How would you advise someone then who is starting out and they're interested in doing more within the store? How would, you know, how can they make that jump or how would they find a career path? Because I think a lot of questions come through Pharmacist Moms group, you know, where they're looking for something else, but they almost don't know where to look. You know, what would you recommend?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, so there's a piece of opportunities, like making sure, so if you're in the stores, and you're looking for other types of opportunities, there's working with your local leadership and letting them know. So like my pharmacy supervisor and district manager at the time knew that I was kind of doing these like unique one-off types of things and that I was interested in doing more. And so when opportunities presented and they were like, hey, who can, do you have anybody in the store who might be interested in doing this role? And then the pharmacy supervisor and district manager were like, oh yeah, Andrea's always doing something, you know, different and interesting, like go talk to her and see if she's interested in it. And so there's a piece of making sure that your leadership is aware of what you're interested in doing. And then also something as simple as like even on Walgreens.com, you can sort like through job opportunities and sort by pharmacist, sort by location, for example, and you could see what open pharmacist roles exist within the support center. So whether it's in, like, I'm in what's called the merchandising portion of the support center, there's obviously like a ton of pharmacist jobs that are in the pharmacy operations part of our support center as well. And so there's a piece of being proactive about your career. You have to be proactive. You know, you don't necessarily have people knocking on your door and offering you, you know, opportunities. You have to be proactive, put yourself out there, let your management know what you're interested in, and then look for opportunities, you know, on our website. And if you have connections already within the support center, it's always good to just schedule like meet and greets. So sometimes even I do that, like where there's different new leadership, you know, I might just reach out and say, hey, would love to kind of chit chat and, you know, hear about what you're doing and what your group is doing, you know, within the support center, and you just kind of network.
No, that makes sense. I think that the other thing, the other part of it is that networking is so important, but people don't know where to go or how to network sometimes. And it's almost like taking that leap of faith into it and, you know, and making new relationships or also looking for somebody, almost like a mentor or somebody. They might not even know you, but I know that sometimes I'll look at different women who I just followed their career path and I'm like, well, how did she get there? And, you know, and a lot of them were my preceptors or different things, but just kind of looking at the career paths of others. So you're right. Other people might say, yeah, look what Andrea did and, you know, look how she got there. And I think that's important as well in terms of advice.
You're your biggest champion. I was just going to say, you're your biggest champion. So you have to like put yourself out there and go after what you want.
Kind of, I wanted to piggyback on that a little bit and just ask, we're starting to see more leadership roles in pharmacy filled by women, which I think is incredible. Do you have any advice for women in pharmacy who are interested in going down that path? We've talked about the mentorship and networking, but do you have anything else that you can think of or anything that's helped you along your way that could help develop these women as they're really interested in going these routes?
Well, you know, I think a good way, like where I have gone out of my way to do different things that aren't necessarily like in your current job description, you know, so I'm always like poking around into different areas where I might not be the expert, but I'm like, that's an interesting area. You're looking to figure out how to set this up. I might have some ideas about that. Or, you know, I might be reading something in a pharmacy journal about a product and I might be thinking about like, oh, okay, well, I should just bring this thing forward, see how we could manipulate it. Like it might spark a different idea in what I'm doing. But I try to use that as like different ways to bring things forward to my leadership and say, hey, you know what? I think that maybe we could approach whatever it is differently. Why don't we think about it doing it this way? Or I know that we were working on this and doing things that are kind of above and beyond your normal job description, whether it's product, whether it's efficiency in a process, a way to do something better, kind of going above and beyond and coming up with like solutions to solve that. So it's always, you know, it's always easy to sit there and say, this doesn't work. I don't like this. This makes no sense. But, you know, like all you're doing is really documenting the obvious, right? Like what's better is it doesn't make sense, but here's what I think we can do to make it better, and kind of having a solution. And doing that then shows your leadership that you're a thought leader. You're trying to come up with solutions. You're not just somebody who's sitting there and pointing out the obvious deficiencies in whatever it is that you're trying to actively help solve whatever your business unit is trying to solve for.
That's great, great advice. And that was a great question, Carlene. So as we all know, and we look at news, we know, you know, Walgreens is under leadership of female leadership, our new CEO with Walgreens, which is very exciting. And just as I was, you know, looking into an article, and I read a nice 60-second quotation coming from the CEO of Google, Sundar Pichai, I was so impressed with what they said. And as we know, with the COVID pandemic and unprecedented times, there is so much burnout that our healthcare professionals are facing. So in his message, Mr. Pichai talks about five balls that we juggle into the air. And those five balls are health, work, family, and your soul. And out of which, you know, he considers four of them that are made out of glass. And one is a rubber ball, which is your work. So I always, you know, see the point that the rubber ball can always bounce back. People can always bounce back into their career. Balancing those other four balls is so, so important. So what would be your piece of advice to all our female pharmacists who are juggling so many tasks, you know, or all the pharmacists, in fact, during COVID times? How do they manipulate or balance those five balls to have the balance of life?
Yeah, that's like a great analogy. And I'll just say the struggle is real. You know, I mean, for whether you have like having multiple children, having one child, having no children, sick parents, like, you know, I wish I had the magic wand that could say, this is what perfection looks like, but I actually don't think perfection exists on it. And the way that each person balances that for them, it has to work for them. You know, like for myself, I would say I have a 14-year-old, just started high school. You know, I've been trying to be very focused on like her mental health, having worked remotely for the last, you know, 18 months, basically. They were home alone staring at a computer, and now she's in a high school with 3,000 kids. And so, you know, I'm very focused on making sure that she's actually what she needs is taken care of first. My husband, you know, obviously works, has a busy schedule himself. And so we try to really have clear work times and clear family times. And it's been hard. Like you would think working from home, like, oh, I'm working from home, it's perfect. I mean, it actually blends everything. So it's like, as soon as I get up, you know, 7 a.m., I'm probably on the computer, when technically the day doesn't really start until 8, right? And then it's supposed to end at about 4:30. But like, because we work, you know, with our international sourcing offices, like I might be on the phone with Hong Kong late at night or the UK, you know, I mean, so there is areas that it blends more than I would like it to. But there's certain times where I'm just like, after this time, like we're done, like no phones, no computer anywhere near where we're eating dinner. You know, we make sure like every day we try to have like the daily recap. What happened at school? How was your day? You know, to try to just make sure. But it's not perfect all the time. Sometimes there's like emergencies happening on where I have to be on calls. You know, like in the peak of COVID, the supplier issues that we were having, like the global supply constraints and getting products was like morning till night, you know, and I try not to beat myself up when I have to do that, you know, because I do have work responsibilities as well. I feel like if I can balance and maybe like 80% of the time I'm super focused and want things to be like this, and the other 20% is when I'm working longer than, you know, 10, 12 hours in a day, then I've stopped beating myself up about when that happens, because I can't, you know, it's just something that can't be controlled every single moment. So I try to give myself some grace. And when it's not perfect, it's not perfect.
That was great. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's an art of learning and living with imperfection and perfection, the balance of both. So yeah. Very well analyzed and answered.
I have a question based kind of off the work-life, that work-life harmony or fit that we were just talking about. So I think that especially in the last 18 months with the pandemic in general, we've experienced just burnout at such a high rate. And we see it not only in our profession, but just the other medical professions as well. So my question to you is kind of like a dual question. How do you combat / prevent like the burnout from happening being a busy working mom? And number two, have you been noticing higher levels of burnout amongst pharmacists, especially in the positions that you've held and the other pharmacists?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, so a couple things. So my brother is a pharmacist in our stores. And so he's been working all throughout like COVID peaks and vaccinations. I would say, you know, the burnout that the healthcare professionals are feeling is real. You know, it's nonstop. And whether it's, even if you look at the retail setting, it's the pharmacists, it's the techs, it's our front end personnel that are just taking care of the registers. The biggest issue going on, you know, that a lot of it is stemming from is labor shortages as well. So you have this, you know, moment in time here where there's massive labor shortages, which is putting more pressure on the employees that are coming into work to have to work like longer hours, et cetera. You know, I would say with my staff at work, like my team that reports into me, you know, like they're burned out. They're on, because we're working global, like we're talking with Hong Kong either at 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. at night. So the hours like are blended, right? Like they're working long hours trying to resolve supply issues, or working with manufacturers who have sick employees, can't run their manufacturing lines, you know, at full capacity, et cetera. The way I try to deal with it, like with the team that reports into me specifically, is again, like having this empathetic approach to things. And when people need like a mental break to check out, like go check out, you know, take your PTO days, take your vacation. If something doesn't work out perfectly, you know, it's again, it's the grace and empathy of that's okay. Why don't you just take some time? We'll extend the deadline on this. We'll try to figure out, you know, how to get it through. But it's not perfect. The burnout is real right now, and it's across like every sector of work. You see it in restaurants. You have, you know, two people showing up at a restaurant to work. That's a packed house. I think people in general need to have some patience, which is easier to say. Because, you know, patients and customers can be demanding, whether they're going to the grocery store, the pharmacy, or a restaurant, they want what they want. They've been spoiled, right, with that like immediate, you know, whatever it is that people want, they're able to get in seconds these days. So when you're having to wait 10, 15 minutes and your Amazon order didn't show up the next, you know, later on that day like you wanted, I think people have kind of forgotten that they need to be a bit patient with what's going on, especially because of all the labor shortages.
Now that's such a great point with, you know, the immediate gratification experience, because I think even the younger kids, so, you know, even with Amazon, I think that's a great example. I noticed that my kids were talking and they're 7 and 9, and the other day they're like, stop ordering from Amazon because their orders are always delayed lately. It's not going to come the next day anymore. They're like, it's delayed. Just tell mom, let's go to Target. We'll get it right away. Like, they're talking about like birthday toys, you know.
But yeah, that's funny. Like, I remember when I used to order something and it would take 10 days.
Exactly. So all of a sudden they remember that it used to just be a day, and now it could take a few extra days. So it's really changed, you know, but it is that immediate gratification. I think that's an important point to bring up and to remind everybody that it's okay. And that our, you know, that customers or patients or anyone needs to understand and just be more patient with us, and that, you know, you need to take that time. And I experience that too. When I go to restaurants now, they all have signs up too that say, you know, please longer wait times, you know, please, you know, accept our apologies and things like that. So I think that's a great point to remember. The last thing I wanted to talk about today was really just about women in the healthcare space, since our focus is in general on women in pharmacy. And based on what the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics reported, they said that about 77% of healthcare workers are female, which is a lot higher than any other industry, but really in the executive suites that it's really far and few between that, you know, arguably that it's probably the worst area is in healthcare, you know, whether it's payers or pharmaceutical companies, med tech firms, providers. So just in general, all areas that pharmacists could be employed in or could work in. Do you have advice for women who are looking to head into a role like that, or, you know, any advice that you could offer for women? And I will say that to just kind of add one more point, about a third of women who are pharmacists between the ages of 30 and 45 do work part-time. So I do think, you know, women are choosing to work part-time for reasons, and it could be the childbearing ages as well. So that could impact the numbers as well. So I do want to point that out to anyone who's looking at these studies very carefully. So I do want to point out the part-time role of women. But what advice do you have for women who are pursuing a career in you know, or looking to eventually hold a C-suite position? How would they overcome some of these barriers, or any advice you have?
Yeah, I mean, I would say again, individually, each person's success and determination of success is specific for them, right? So for some, success is having a part-time job, which enables them to have the home-life balance that they want, you know, and so that's one group. And then, you know, for those that are wanting to accelerate their careers, plus or minus families or whatever their situation is, again, it's more about being clear on what your end goal is, you know? So if I want to be in this position up here, you know, then it's like little by little going through and saying, what do I need to do to get to here? Well, I need to go to this level and accomplish this. I need to go to this level and accomplish this. And being clear about what your end goal is, and then figuring out, like, again, the networking is going to be important, you know, and having what I call sponsors or cheerleaders within the organization that'll help when an opportunity comes up and say, you know what, I have an idea of who a good person would be for that role. And as long as the networking becomes really important, because if you have multiple people within that you're talking to, and then an opportunity comes up, you could have multiple people in a room saying, hey, this person is pretty ambitious. They've done these extra projects. They've let me know that they are interested in moving up in the organization. And even if it's outside of your organization, so say you want to flip from where you're at today and go to a different, you know, company or something like that, then it's, you have to network differently. Then you're networking with people who know people within the organization that you're trying to get into. And hey, if an opportunity ever comes up, I want to make sure, you know that I'm interested. Here's my updated CV. And again, being proactive. My biggest piece of advice in general is being proactive and being the captain of your destiny. You are in charge of your life, and it's up to you to make sure that you're putting yourself in a position to where you ultimately want to be.
That was great advice. And to piggyback on what Susan said, you know, about part-time roles, I'm going to steer my question a little bit into the clinical aspect of work. So when it comes to pharmacists, all eyes are lit towards, you know, big retail chains, like what openings or positions are coming. And with COVID pandemic, we all know that the patients are accustomed, the pharmacists are accustomed to the telehealth aspect. And so my question is, do we have something that we can expect in future with remote patient monitoring, diabetes management, where we see a humongous change in patients' health and life via telehealth, chronic care disease management? I would love to see if you want to shed some light onto those aspects of work for our pharmacists who are trying to balance the part-time work.
Well, you know, there's a whole group within Walgreens that's working on expand those types. On our website today, there's a drop down for an area called Find Care Now. And Find Care Now is constantly like changing what it's doing. So you could already chat with pharmacists. You could help find healthcare professionals within a specific condition. So if you're having like issues with pain management, for example, you could hit on the pain management tile and see what types of services and partnerships we have that could help a person manage that particular condition. And so while I'm not super involved in the roadmap of innovation that they're doing within that space, other than knowing that they're constantly tweaking it, we talk to shoppers, we understand what customers and patients are looking for, and then we modify the offering. So we're constantly doing a launch, talk to patients, understand unmet needs, and then tweak what that offering is that basically will meet what the shoppers are looking for.
It seems like a lot of what you guys are doing in this innovation department and these clinical services, which is so amazing, like to see how much is being offered by you guys. And one of the biggest components I feel that's missing for pharmacists is our lack of, you know, universal provider codes and whatnot. Do you feel that this might sort of help advance our ability to finally gain those codes so we can eventually help to bill and see patients and sort of enter that mid-level provider status for those who want to go that route?
I mean, I hope so. You know, again, I'm not super involved with the roadmap of what they're doing, but I know that universal provider codes and trying to understand how we can bill for the pharmacist interventions that are going on is something that's been being looked at for, I don't know, for a long, long time. But yeah, I mean, I feel like that's a super important piece of it and will further, you know, kind of elevate the role of what the pharmacists are doing and helping to help patients.
Perfect. Well, thanks again. Thank you so much for your time and for spending this last half hour or, you know, with us. We really appreciate it. And we'd love to have you on again as a guest on the show.
Thank you so much. I feel so honored to have been here today. Thank you for having me.